Les, we've already heard from, I believe, 10 brand new or people who used to be members and are now coming back. We've heard, we'd love to hear from a few more before the top of the hour.
That's right. If you have been thinking about becoming a friend of WILL, do it right now. It takes about 2 minutes out of your time, and it means so much to your public radio station. The number to call is 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. Invest just $5 a month. And your public radio station, you'll keep the great program coming to you day after day after day.
You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, and thank you, Les, and so much. And we do look forward to those phone calls coming in at 217-244-9455. It's $5 Friday, and we'd love our agricultural listeners, all of our listeners, to call in right now with your pledge of support, especially if you are a brand new member in February, looking for 100 folks that have not been members before to join us at $5 a month. That's just $60 a year. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. It's really quick, simple, and easy to do. Speaking of easy to do, let's check out the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Looks like it could be a rough one for the weekend.
Most of the Midwest is still poised to be impacted by a significant storm system this weekend, especially the lower parts of the region. We're expecting the system to begin impacting the region as we go through the evening and overnight tonight. The storm system promises to produce 1 to 3 inches of moisture across Kentucky and portions of neighboring Tennessee, southeastern Missouri, extreme southernmost sections of Illinois, and southernmost Indiana. The storm system will also have a potential to produce an impressive band of freezing rain, sleet, and snow just to the north of the heavy rain region, and we'll likely see some power outages possibly in some of the areas where they have the greatest ice accumulation. Heavy snows will then occur from portions of northern Missouri into parts of Ohio and southeastern sections of Michigan. Accumulations will get into multiple inches across this region, 4 to 8 inches, maybe some local totals getting upwards to 10 inches or more will be possible. It all depends on how quickly the storm system moves. Right now it's advertised to be a fairly quick event, but there's still potential that it will have a big impact for at least 24 hours across these areas. Livestock stress is expected to be pretty significant as well, and we will see warmer air moving across the region, but don't get too set on that and get comfortable with it, because there will be a bitter cold air mass coming in after the storm system abates from the region, and we'll be right back to this bitter cold environment we've seen in recent days. Temperatures this morning dropped to minus 19 degrees at Frankfort, Kentucky. Matches the minus 19 that occurred the day before at Cape Girardeau, Missouri. These are certainly impressive anomalies. They are not representative of the temperatures in the region, but certainly setting records for the area. With temperatures mostly this morning were in the positive negative single digits across a big part of the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. Quite a bit warmer out to the west, with teens and some lower 20s being noted in the western fringes of the Corn Belt, with Missouri and Kansas probably a bit warmer than the rest of the region. Winds are switching around to the south here today. There's a little bit of light snowfall occurring across the upper portions of the Midwest, but it's not likely to be a major event. The big focus of energy is the storm system that comes up here this weekend. That system will take the headlines, I'm sure, as we move from Saturday into Sunday. After that passes, we will see those temperatures getting bitterly cold across the Midwest again, and that will dominate the region Sunday and Monday, and then another warm-up will likely take place. One last little surge of cold air will come into the region from Tuesday into Wednesday, produce again some light snowfall as it comes into the region, but temperatures behind it will not be quite as impressive as these two previous cold air surges, but we'll still have temperatures below average across a big part of the region. Our lowest temperatures across the area as we move forward through these next few days will probably be most impressive as we get into Sunday and Monday. During that time period, negative teens and some negative 20s will occur in the uppermost parts of the Midwest. Negative single-digit readings will occur across the area from Missouri and parts of Iowa into portions of Ohio, and we'll look for that to be repeated again possibly on Tuesday morning in the easternmost sections of the region. After that, a temporary warm-up will occur early next week, but we'll turn right around and have another cold day or two Wednesday or Thursday of next week as that last system starts to come through the region. Our highest temperatures over the next few days will actually occur as we get involved with that storm system tomorrow. We'll look for the temperatures tomorrow afternoon running mostly in the 30 30s and 40s across a fair amount of the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest, but that's a one-day event. We'll likely see temperatures only in the single digits and teens as we get into Sunday and possibly Monday. Down in South America, everything is still tranquil. It looks like improving weather will occur in center west and center south Brazil, where it's been very wet the past couple of weeks. Much better conditions for harvest progress will occur as a result of the drier bias, but it won't last long. More rain is coming up late next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from Busey. Since 1868, they've reinvested in our communities one project at a time, from financial guidance and support to energetic volunteers and committed leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check now the numbers as they're trading in Chicago at this hour. Corn futures are down about 4 cents for the day. The March contract at 385 at a quarter, December 415 and three quarters. Bean futures are down 6 to 7 cents with the March at $9.99 and a half and November at $9.79 and a quarter. Bean meal off 70, bean oil down 30. Wheat futures are down 6 and a half, the lead option at 521 and a half. Live cattle futures are 67 and a half cents lower. Feeder cattle down about 77 and a half cents in the nearby. 25 in the April, and April lean hogs are 67 and a half cents higher. Overnight and throughout the day, USDA Ag Outlook Forum has been happening in Washington, D.C. Many are there, and a few of us are watching closely, including Bill Mayer, who's right here in Champaign County at Strategic Farm Marketing and on the phone line. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Todd.
Take me through some of the numbers, supply and demand figures released by USDA. These, are, of course, are outlook numbers, but they are pretty interesting.
Yeah, I guess the interesting thing to me on the soybeans was that even with the low acreage that they came out with yesterday, it got the market a little bit excited. They still come out actually building stocks to about 430 million carryout versus a 385 this year. So they're looking at a 46-bushel yield. Throwing that in with the harvested acres and usage up just a little bit, they do build stocks a little bit. And I think the trade is hesitant to believe, you know, the 83.5 million acres planted. So the beans, I think that's kind of where it comes in. On the corn side of it, they've got a slight reduction in stocks, you know, for the coming year, and I think that's pretty much where the trade's been at. 89 million planted and 166 bushel yield, fairly close to what I've seen from most analysts. So not any real big news there, I think. And then we see, I believe when we get these rallies like we got yesterday, we see cash sales getting made. And I think that you're seeing that happen here on the 830 open the last couple of days, times that we've had these rallies. So I think that's kind of keeping the pressure.
Interestingly, on the corn, the ending stocks figure at 1.687, or let's say 1.7 billion bushels for next year, at 350 cash price. This year, 1.827 is the current projection, and 365 the cash price. Why the difference?
I think we maybe had a little bit of the, you know, the 14-15 year where we had some sales made ahead of time.
At higher prices.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what they're figuring in there. But I will just say one thing here, Todd. I know we're kind of quick on time here today, but this $10 area on the March beans, I think, is real important if on the weekly close here. Whether we close above that, that may still give us a little bit of push, you know, from a technical standpoint. Closing below, it's probably a little bit negative. So.
Hey, and thank you so much for having me and the rest of the crew out on some of your strategic farm marketing panels over the last couple of weeks. You have one more of those coming up. That's when Wednesday evening this week, right?
No, we're actually done with it. We have a meeting here in Champaign next week, but it's just one of our regular.
Oh, I know. That's what
morning.
I meant.
Yeah.
I was trying to point to that one.
Yeah, we still have one in Champaign at Parkland next Wednesday morning. Yep,
February the 25th. So call the folks at Strategic Farm Marketing if you're interested in that. Thanks, Bill, for taking the time with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Bill Mayer, of course, at Strategic Farm Marketing. You can find him online at our website, willag.org, and you can find him in our newsletter if you happen to subscribe, and the Strategic Farm Marketing Outlook. Those folks managed to sponsor several of them this year that we were involved with. Les Schulte, that's just part of the service that comes from WILL, and that service is funded in part by our listeners. And today, we're hoping to pick up a few more on what we're calling $5 Friday.
$5 Friday, Todd. We're asking those of you who maybe have used this service, listened to it, find it valuable, but have never made a contribution to join us this morning at 217-244-9455, and maybe at the just $5 a month level. That's just $60 a year. We have a group of super friends who will match your pledge dollar for dollar, so that $60 contribution becomes a $120 a year contribution right now. The number to call is 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express.
Absolutely. Looking forward to having everybody join us, and we'd like 100 friends in the month of February, new friends, that is, and so if you're not, the time is now at $5, just $60 for the year. Be a great thing to do. 217-244-9455 is the number to call, or go online at willag.org. Donate at the top. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3, Urbana.
Good morning. The U.S. and its allies plan to take back one of Iraq's biggest cities. They're devoting 10 times more Iraqi troops to attacking Mosul than there are ISIS fighters defending it. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. In Akron, Ohio, this week, every middle and high school student is being handed a glossy card with tips on how to behave around police. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. With ports up and down the West Coast shut down, we take a closer look at the union at the center of the deadlock, the longshoremen. Plus, on StoryCorps, we hear from a father thought to be the first single man in California to adopt a child. It's Friday, February 20th. Happy birthday to author and former Morning Edition commentator Ellen Gilchrist, who turns 80. The news is next.